So what was it like for you doing the process in your small groups? Just give me some one-word descriptions. Amazing. Okay. We'll look forward to story. What else? Safe. Okay. Someone right before I was still kind of rambunctious said nerve-wracking as facilitator. You know, how many of you felt kind of nervous? Uh-oh, I'm in over my head. What am I doing here kind of place? Okay. That's a very common thing to feel when you first try to do this. Okay. So if that was where you were at, it's okay. But I would encourage you that the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it. And one thing that really helps with that is as you see people connect with Emmanuel in spite of your blunders, then you just quit worrying about the blunders. Because I promise you, I have not followed the script perfectly many times, and people have had amazing connections. Because it's not about the script, it's about Jesus. Okay, what other impressions, you know, just kind of one or two word descriptions do you have of your time in this context? Vulnerable, okay. Eye-opening, surprising. Okay, well, let me just ask if you're comfortable. If you made an Emmanuel connection today, either through the time this morning or in the group setting or whatever, you know, just give me a raise of hands. Just curious to see what kind of wonderful, okay? So what I want to do for a little bit, and then we'll do some Q&A, is I want to give any of you that are brave enough, or any of you willing to, if you're willing to tell the story of your Emmanuel connection today, trying to pull out the thorns, but telling what Jesus has done for you today, I'd love to give you the mic and let you do that. So is anybody brave enough, willing to do that for us? Okay? Absolutely.
All right. Mine was when we were doing the appreciation stories, and I had a memory of being together with my entire family at Christmas time last year, which hasn't happened for probably 7 or 8 years that all of us could be together. And my sister and I wanted to sing carols. And so what we did is we were the instigators, and we began to ask everyone if they would join us. And eventually, every single member of our family had joined us in the living room around the piano, and we were singing carols together. And so that was my appreciation memory, just the wonder of having our family that's gone through so much be actually able to sing together like that. And then when we switched it to, what did you call it, interaction? I asked the Lord if he would show me what was happening with him in the midst of that moment, and then I saw him, and he was standing in the doorway crying. He was standing leaning against the door frame crying, and I realized that, I mean, I had felt overwhelmed with thankfulness when I went back to that memory, but he was crying because it meant so much to him that we would all sing to him.
Thanks for sharing. Who else?
I'm a stand-up because I'm a big ham. I drove here from St. Louis to come to this meeting. So the Lord just started out. I thought it was so odd this morning when I got here, and you just started talking about what we're going to do today, and I just got this overwhelming feeling of Jesus just like all over me, and you weren't saying anything that deep or spiritual, but it was like, and then that was part of my appreciations, the three appreciations we did this morning. It was It was like the Lord took me back on memory lane to show the beginning of how I arrived here today, which started with my connection with Marcia and Fred, which is over a year ago. And the Lord just, all of my appreciations, all of my memories, I went into the interactive. Like, before you got to the interactive, I went into the interactive, not realize it was just the path the Lord was taking me on. And I just felt how much God has been with me from the very start, from when I was a little kid. He's always been there. And he's never left. He's never left me. I would try to run from him, and he just comes right along. And so, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. See what a blessing it is when we share the stories. So who wants to be the next person to bless others? I know it's scary, especially when somebody sticks a microphone, but it really is a blessing. So, sure.
We didn't really have time in our group because we were a group of four, but the Lord is giving, I'll just take this as my opportunity to share something that He just slipped in between the appreciation moments this morning when I wasn't really even thinking about it. He reminded me of my last weekend with my mom before she passed away last year and how we got to go to lunch. And I never had asked him if he was there or what he was doing. And he said, yeah, I was there. And I knew what was coming the very next weekend. I knew she was going to pass away, and I was feeling compassion for you, but I was there, too, with both of you, and I wanted you to have those moments, and so I was there with you at that time, and, you know, I had a last meal with my disciples, and that was important to me. It was important to me to eat with them and be with them before I took off, and so that was my way of giving you that, and I never saw that connection before. It really blessed me.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Anyone else?
With my group this afternoon, what I remember the important piece was, I think I was feeling a little like I'm all alone. I have to figure stuff out on my own and make things happen, and kind of that distress in my body tight. I noticed it, and I think my other people sort of noticed it as soon as I went, and they may need to remind me. I think I said something like, if I can hold Jesus' hand, I'll be okay. And when I did that, I noticed kind of a shift for me, but they also noticed it. And I think asking God to what he was thinking, and the thought that went across my brain was, I want to hold your hand too, and let's go. That was very helpful. Right now I don't feel it emotionally, but I like that song, I want to hold your hand. But it was important to me, just the difference between I'm all alone, I have to figure this all out, and then it's like, when I'm holding God's hand, I'm safe and I'm not alone.
Anyone else?
I'll just share a little bit about our time in the Share Emmanuel. And my appreciation was a time, it was this morning and when we started this time, a time in the car with my mom, all the times like running back and forth to activities, and just how safe I felt, and it was just an appreciation of safety. And then as we moved into the prayer part, the Lord brought to my mind just the places where I'm still afraid, or specifically in front of certain people. There are certain people that have power over me, and I feel like I get small and childlike, and I feel afraid. And he gave me this visual that is just, I feel like it's going to be cool and I can carry with me of him. He just got down. All these four people are standing in front of me that I feel like have this power over me that's unhealthy. And he got down. He's crunched up in a little ball, and I climbed on his back, and he kind of, my feet were in his hands. He's like, held me up. And I felt like these words, I'm your strength. I am your support. I am your equipper. And that I can stand tall and confident because I'm standing on him. So.
Thank you. Anyone else?
You don't feel like this is very significant, but I thought, I'll share it. When we were doing the appreciations, God gave me several awesome things yesterday, just happened. But because you asked, I remembered them and I realized it. And I just thought, if when I go to bed at night, if I would rather say, Lord, what was everything that went wrong throughout my day? And try to figure out how am I going to navigate tomorrow. If I would have stopped and said, Lord, what was everything that you blessed me with today? What was all the appreciations? Because I think I could sleep a lot better. And so that's something I really want to develop as a habit, actually. So,
you know, she started off by saying, I don't think this is very significant. And yet it is significant. And yet it also illustrates one of the ways the enemy silences us. He says, well, what you experienced, that's nothing compared to what they did. Or, you know, that, you know, you certainly can't compete with Dolores's story and presentation. And yet that's just the enemy's lies. Because every time someone shares part of their Emmanuel journey, it is always a blessing to others. So, with that in mind, is there anyone else? Or are we going to go to...
I'm not sure what I'm sharing. I've just been prodded and poked by, not by you, by the Lord. When Laura, I think, got up, was that you? Or who was it? Sorry. I was trying to remember everybody's name I've met. But, and you shared the part about... you're in his lap. I had shared that with my person earlier. One of my titles was My Daddy's Lap. And so that came up again in our group. And the person that was facilitating did a really good job and asked how I felt after sharing this, because one of the things that I shared was how tired I had been years ago, trying to take care of everything and control everything. And over a series of years, God has been recovering me. And I realized that what he basically is saying to me, and I'd written this down, so this is what I got from him today. And this is bringing it full circle, by the way, the joyful journey. Rest in me, Marcia. I am your rest, your shalom, your peace. And that's really what I'm hearing from him today. And that was after waking up at 1:30 this morning and not sleeping all night. So,
thanks for sharing. Anyone else?
Well, I don't have much trouble sharing nowadays. A lot of practice. But I think this has been a culmination of just really realizing there's so many things of who I am in the family of God now that I absolutely no way in heck could be in my own family of origin. And I couldn't do that there, and I really had to be obedient to that mother and father. But now I really truly don't have to be obedient anymore. I don't have to worship them. This is the new truth, and it's a wonderful truth to be stepping into.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, let me try to clear up a couple things that a couple of you asked me about. And one is that I realized, because somebody pointed out to me, or they made a connection, and then it dawned on me, oh, that is confusing. What we did this afternoon is... what we did this morning was me walking you through a share Emmanuel practice of doing the appreciations. And then what we did this afternoon was an extension of share Emmanuel that uses the small group format as a way of taking what you did in the morning and using that as a foundation for your time doing it together. And one place where that's confusing is because I use the term facilitator, then we think it's a facilitated session. And in one sense it is, because somebody is facilitating it. But when I use the term facilitated IP, it's more in the context of being in a session designed just for that with someone who's got the skill and the experience and those sort of things to lead that. And so what we're doing this afternoon is a slightly watered down version of that, based upon, it's a shallow water version of that. And as you've seen, and as I saw with tears and laughter, and as I watched the groups, there were some very significant connections made. And so one thing I want to emphasize is that all three forms of Emmanuel prayer, the journaling, facilitated Emmanuel prayer, share Emmanuel, they're all working towards the same goal, just doing it in slightly different ways. And hopefully that'll help clarify some things for you. So any other questions or things maybe I could answer or clarify, or observations, or, you know, what parts of the model or the flow chart or the tools, what worked for you, what didn't? Let's just use a little time to try to diagnose and learn a little bit more together, if that makes sense. No, not the demonstration I did this morning. This morning when I led you, the demonstration that I did with Morgan, that was a demonstration of a facilitated Emmanuel prayer session. What I meant about this morning is the leading you through the appreciation, sharing your appreciations with one another. That was setting the stage for share Emmanuel, which you did together in your groups of threes and four. Does that clarify the mud a little bit? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that is one way to do it. There's not a chapter or verse that says, "Thus saith the Lord, do it this way." You know, I think that's an important thing to recognize, is that the goal is connecting deeper and clearer with Jesus. And there's a number of different ways to get there. And these are just some ways and some tools that we have found to be helpful. Now, I would call this afternoon is the outgrowth of Share Emmanuel. But it's very similar, except for the fact that we were doing Share Emmanuel with each other, and our facilitator may or may not have had much experience in this realm. Other questions or observations do you have? Yeah, share Emmanuel group practice. And somebody had asked about, you know, different contexts that you can use these things in. I guess as I've thought about that just a few minutes, I think the Emmanuel process, in fact, I love the way Carl's describing it lately, he's describing more as an Emmanuel lifestyle. That it really is a paradigm shift in your mind of, okay, how do I live my life more aware of Jesus with me at every moment of my life? And so Emmanuel journaling is one way that helps you be more aware of that. Being in a group where you practice and do share Emmanuel together is another way that helps you be more aware of that. Scheduling time with a counselor or a pastor or someone who understands the process and who can lead you in a facilitated Emmanuel prayer time to get into deeper things, that's another very powerful part of the process. And so it's not a matter of, okay, which one should I do? It's just a matter, okay, Jesus, which one is good for me today? Kind of thing, if that makes sense. Dolores? You need a professional moment. Yes. Okay. Well, a couple things there. One is, use your lifelines. Okay? That's what the appreciation is for. Because if some big monster comes out of the closet, you can put them back in the closet most of the time by helping a person get back to appreciation. Okay? But then secondly with that, go back to the principle I talked about right before we went into groups. Jesus knows your time, your space, your capacity, and your resources when you're in these times. And so if you're the one facilitating it, that's where you need your own interactive connection that says, okay, Jesus, this big monster came out of the closet and I want to run and send her to a professional. Is that what you want me to do? Do you want me to get her stabilized with appreciation? Or do you want me to walk this out with this person? And it's really scary when you get the sense that he wants you to walk this out with them. Now, that doesn't mean that you've just become a professional. It doesn't mean that they don't need for you to point them to others. But it may mean in that moment, in that time, that you say, okay, Jesus, this is way above my pay grade, and I have no idea how we're going to get through this, but I'm going to follow your lead and trust you know what you're doing. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in that spot. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is Dr. Larry Crabb, when I was in his School of Spiritual Direction many years ago. He had just recently had gallbladder surgery or something. I think it was gallbladder. And he had just, right after that, spoken at the National Council of Christian Counselors or something, National Association of Christian Counselors or something like that. And he started off talking about, and Crabb's such a great storyteller, and he's talking about, he got up and he started talking about going into the hospital and the indignities and all that was going on and stuff. And, of course, people are laughing and they're engaged. And he said, and you know what? Then my surgeon came in and he explained the process to me, and it got me thinking. And what I realized was that if my surgeon would have known as little about my body as we, speaking to all these counselors, know about the human soul, I would not have let him within 20 feet of me with a knife. And his point for that, which I think is a critical point for all of us, is that none of us can have enough education, enough training, enough credentials to really know what we're doing with people's souls. And so guess where that leaves us? In a place of complete dependence that says, oh Lord, you've got to guide this process. Which is a big part of why I love the Emmanuel process. Because then it's not up to me to figure out. It's not up to me to find the resolution. It's just up to me to keep pointing them back to Jesus. It's up to me to help them find appreciations and trust him to sort it out. And so, trust me, there's been many times where I've been in Emmanuel sessions with people and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this person needs a professional. And I've heard Carl say the same thing. And he's got the PhD, he's got the psychiatric degree and all those credentials with him. The reality is we have to, we follow Jesus as he leads us into these sometimes terrifying but beautiful places in people's lives. Because let me ask you this, how many of you, when someone was in their journey, just kind of felt like you were on holy ground and it was a privilege to be able to be in that place with the other people? I can't tell you how many times people have left my office thanking me profusely for an Emmanuel connection. And I'm like, you don't need to thank me. I need to thank you for the privilege of your courage to go into this place so that we could see how beautiful and powerful and amazing Jesus is. I would say, yeah, one of, if not the most faith-building thing for me over the last 10 years has been doing Emmanuel prayer with people. Because it has been so cool to see the amazing ways that Jesus meets people. And it's been so cool because, you know, I've always been a little bit of a rebel at heart, and institutional stuff and church stuffiness drives me crazy. Okay? And so it has been so cool for me to see the fun ways that Jesus has shown up for people. I mean, I have seen, I told you the story. I saw Jesus show up in a strip club. And that's quite offensive to people if they don't know the whole story. And yet, if he is with us always, does it not even include our terrible places? It does. And I've had stories where Jesus shows up for kids and is just an absolute goofball. And it's so fun. And it's so cool to see that, you know, Jesus doesn't care about holding up his, how do I put it, holding up his image. He's just himself. And that's been incredibly faith-building for me. Sure.
I'm used to the mic, but I just didn't want to be that loud. Our grandson, who's three, I was Emmanuel journaling this summer, and they lived with us for 2 months. And he kept wanting to come back and be quiet with Jesus with me in our room, which was our safe place in the house from two toddlers. And so I said, okay, you can come back, but I have to get you a journal. And I got him a blank journal and some colored pencils, and he's three. And he would start doing it, and suddenly I'd look over, and he's rolling and jumping on my bed. And I go, no, this is quiet. You can't roll. And he goes, but Jesus likes it. He's laughing. And I thought, that's a three-year-old Emmanuel joy.
And just a tag team a note on that. Little kid, you know, I said kids and Jesus being goofball with them. When I was saying that, I was thinking of adults and kid memories. But I'll tell you, kids are so easy to do Emmanuel prayer with because they don't have any of the predispositions of, they don't have the triggers and all the beliefs and the reasons why Jesus won't be with them. You get a small child to ask Jesus where he is, and the child will tell you, yeah, he's in my closet, or he's at the foot of my bed, or, you know, they just connect like this. And what a beautiful thing if they can learn as children that God is always with them, and that as parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, whatever role we have in their life, that we can help them know that that's normal. That that's how God intends for them to know life is. All right, anything else before we wrap it up? You're talking the sexual addiction material? Well, in 30 seconds, right? No, in 30 seconds there is no answer, but just a brief thing. In my sexual addiction recovery manual and with our men's groups and the things we do to help men and then their wives and families recover, the Emmanuel lifestyle, the manual processing is an integral part of that. And what I mean by that is that, for example, in the story I told about the man in the strip club, shame is always such a huge issue with, for all of us, really, but especially in any kind of shame-based addiction. And so when individuals struggling with shame experience Jesus meeting them in their shameful places, oftentimes tentacles begin to fall off. And so what we have seen in our ministry is that the men, the end of it, I work almost exclusively with men and then their wives, but the individuals who learn to do the Emmanuel connections through Emmanuel prayer, through facilitated Emmanuel prayer, through Emmanuel journaling, through just even their own individual conversation with God kind of time, that those individuals, as they make those connections, they begin to transform in a much faster, more powerful way. And experiencing Jesus meeting them that way is a huge part of breaking off those shackles. So it is a component of our addiction recovery ministry, but it's one component of many things that are necessary. And I would say that's true in every aspect of any struggle. You know, whatever your particular struggle is, I believe Emmanuel connections will be incredibly helpful, if not the key that sets you free. But there are often many other aspects that need to go with it. Because unfortunately, one of the inherent, fallacies, especially of the American Christian church, is that mindset that it's just me and Jesus. That me and God, if I can get it right with God, if I can get it worked out with Him, then everything will be okay. And so many people in different addiction places, you know, try to spend all their time studying the Bible, yada, 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 and yet they stay hopelessly stuck in the addiction. And Emmanuel prayer is certainly, I think, Emmanuel lifestyle is certainly a much better place than just me and God, in the sense of just me and my Bible and God, me and prayer and God. But there are still many other factors at play. And a significant portion of that is what we get from one another in relational community and context. Which honestly is part of why I love the share Emmanuel and the small group Emmanuel process also. Is because when you experience that with one another, there's also a bonding connection that takes place. And I think that is very significant. Because only a few of you can bond with me at a time. But we can have network and network and network and network and network all over the place, bonding with Jesus and with one another. And that is powerful. So, well, let me pray for us and we'll call it a day. So, Jesus, we just thank you for the sweet connections you've made today. And, Lord, I just pray that you use whatever is from you and that you'll just impress that on people's hearts and minds, and they'll be able to hold on to that. And whatever I've confused them with or whatever is of me or of man, I pray, Lord, that it just fall to the wayside. And that you would help us all to use these tools and other tools and whatever you want us to use to draw closer to you and to experience more of your delight, more of your Emmanuel presence, more of the intimacy with you that you have created and designed us to experience. And so we praise you for being a mighty God, for the way that you have met so many of us in such beautiful and neat ways here today. And we just pray that you help us to make this a lifestyle rather than a Saturday event. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.